Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, are you going? Have you planned a special surprise trip?
No.
Or anything?
No. Would you? Okay, you're going to have to. I know that starting the episode is not easy for you, but you're going to have to find something better than reminding me that I don't have a trip planned to go back to Disney. It does not start me off on the right foot, okay?
But you are notorious for being like, oh yeah, and also I'm going in a week.
This is true. And when I do, I'll be in a good mood. But don't put me in a bad, like, I have enough trouble getting grumpy because of, you know, whatever change that's being made is. Don't put me in a worse mood by asking me whether or not I'm, you know, by reminding me that, yes, you're still not going back to Disney at this point. No, I have no trips. Is this your way of setting up that you have a trip planned?
No.
See, no. Does that make you feel any better?
No.
Okay, then.
Now you've put me in a bad mood.
Oh, yep. So see, now we're both in a bad mood.
We'll just scrap all our show notes and talk about bad things.
Why we're in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Meh.
Rant. Which some people are going right now, yeah, just like every other episode. But assuming that's not what we're going to do with this episode.
Not actually our MO.
Assuming that we are going to follow the show notes.
So we talked about, was that last week? Gosh, I'm still coming out of the sickness haze.
Yes, it was last week.
Okay, last week we talked about different names for, we talked about the rumored name change and then
that
Disney had announced,
change.
Yeah, that no name change was going to happen. But today, Hal Bowers on Twitter tweeted something that I feel like would be a really good name for if they were going to change the name of DHS. So there used to be a video game that was a lot like Skylanders where you bought the game and then you could buy these little figures. And it was called Disney Infinity. And I think Disney Infinity would be an okay name for Hollywood Studios.
Okay, so...
It's certainly much better than Cinemagin or XL.
Cinemagini, man. That's Cinemagini.
Yeah, Cinemagini. My best friend from high school.
That's right. So I do think that this would be a good name. In that it is vague enough that you can put whatever you want to in the park. Though I question how does a rock and roller coaster or a Tower of Terror fit in to Disney's Infinity Park, because the infinite, like, it almost sounds like it would be made up of Disney properties, right? And neither of those is a Disney property. So,
So I guess it takes. So the biggest problem, you know, with it now is Rock and Roller Coaster, for instance, doesn't fit into Hollywood Studios at all. But instead of finding a name that includes Rock and Roller Coaster, what naming it Disney Infinity does is just makes it to where nothing fits into the name. You know what I mean? And everything is just there. It's like the Magic Kingdom where everything's magical. There are different lands that are different themes, but the overall theme of the park is just magic, quote, you know? And so I think that it kind of removes the issue of how does Attraction X fit in, because at that point nothing fits in and it's a name that doesn't really need one specific theme throughout the park.
That's true. But okay, so the other problem that I have with this name though is that it was the name of a Disney video game thing. So so for instance,
I do agree with that criticism.
When I looked at the show notes earlier, you had not put in that, you know, Go Away Green was the person that you were getting this from, right?
Right.
So I thought, okay, Jeremy's put in follow-up Disney Infinity as a new name for DHS. I must have missed some news. So
He's
I went
an insane
to,
person.
Well, so I went to Google and I type in Disney Infinity and I'm like, oh yeah, the video game thing is all that's going to pop up. Let me type in Hollywood Studio. You know, still not getting it. And of course, not getting it because you're basing it off of a tweet, not off any news.
Right.
But even if that was the new name, and even if the name changed, it would be so littered with, it would be so hard to get information, and it would be so confusing to people. I mean, I could see you being able to make that name the name, but it would probably be, you know, 10 years from now. And 10 years from now, maybe that's a decent name. And I think, you know, and I think that Hal, who, you know, I don't know. I doubt they're going to talk about this on Retro Dub to Dub, so I don't feel like we're stealing one of their topics.
Right.
but anyway, so in case they do talk about it, yes, Hal is one of the hosts on that podcast, and we're sorry if we stole your topic early. But anyway, you know, in his tweet, he was actually saying, you know, not this is a ethereal name, but actually make the park tied to the Disney Infinity brand. Like he was actually saying that, as in use the Disney Infinity brand, which is a failed brand. I'm not sure that's what you want to tie it to.
Yeah.
Just as a general name. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it fits better because it allows for just about anything to fit under it better than Excel does. But I still don't think that makes it an inherently good name. So, like, when you walk in the park, are they going to give you a free Infinity figurine? Because if they do, I'm suddenly a lot more on board with this, because I don't have any of those figurines.
I think what you do is, using the terminology, the language that Disney used about no name change for the foreseeable future, what you do is use the foreseeable future to just bury Infinity. Like, scrub it from the internet, scrub it from Google, to where if you Google Disney Infinity, all you see is people talking about how it used to be a fun game to play, and you get eBay listings for figurines and stuff. And once you've done that, once you've achieved that goal, then you can start to change that brand into a theme park. So I disagree with Hal there, where they would use this already established brand, but instead go in and kind of rebrand, or I don't know, instead kind of like burn it down and build it back up as something completely different that there's no confusion about.
Yeah, but again, I think, you know, to his point, he even went and clarified later that, you know, for kids, they're not thinking of it as a failed thing. They're just thinking of it as something they liked and played as kids. And so there is brand equity to take advantage of there. Again, I think you just run into, it can't be two things. And at the point where you've done that, where you've killed it, you've spent so much more than maybe just coming up with a name
that doesn't
use it. And I mean, honestly, I'm waiting for Disney to just go ahead and use my new name, which is Disney's Kitchen Drawer Park. Because, you know, you've got that one that you do, right? You've got that one drawer in the kitchen.
Disney's junk drawer.
That's got the playing cards in it, and the three or four pencils. Probably none of them have an eraser on them anymore. And it's got some garbage ties and a couple of chip clips and, you know, maybe some batteries. That's essentially what Disney's Hollywood Studios is. So
it's a very good name.
I think so. I mean,
I must say,
you want something that's descriptive, and guess what? Disney's Kitchen Drawer or Junk Drawer. I'll even give you that one. That one also works really well, but either one of those, does Twilight Zone Tower of Terror fit into that? Absolutely.
Sure.
Does Rock and Roller Coaster fit into that? Absolutely.
Sure.
Does Star Wars, Pixar, Toy Story, you know, it all fits because it's a kitchen drawer. It's the junk drawer. Everything fits in it. And it's all, you know, and then once the sheen has come off of the new parks, it still kind of fits because your junk drawer is not full of new stuff. It's full of, you know, gently used items.
I will say that if they go with my suggestion and call it junk drawer, it would probably not be great to have the word junk in the name of your park.
True.
They might as well call it Disney's bad park.
Disney's leftovers.
Yeah. If you're going to go negative, really go negative.
There you go. Just lean into it. But yeah, I see some advantages to Infinity, but I think that the disadvantages way outweigh it. And
it's too, yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, it is too crufty as a thing. It's got too much baggage.
And if you actually were going to tie it to that, then it just turns into, I don't know, to me at that, like, let's say that you actually tied it into the video game, right? At that point, it becomes even more, like, closed off to me than, like, Magic Kingdom, you know? Because
you can't
have a Tomorrowland or anything like that. It's all got to be,
right,
like, on-point IP, which, let's be honest, Disney would love. Hey, guys, it's all got to be IP because Disney Infinity is all about the IP stuff. But
they'd also have to bring the video game back, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
And then they have no choice but to keep it going.
Yeah, no matter how much
the park
it does or doesn't sell.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things just don't age well. So,
right.
Brad is saying no on Disney Infinity. Sorry, Hal. Try again.
So
try to beat Junk Drawer, buddy.
It's going to be tough. Junk Drawer is it's a perfect name.
It is.
DJD. I mean, it's even a palindrome. So D23 Japan was Sunday, I think, American time. It was Sunday, American time.
Back in American times, in
the central time zone, it took place Sunday night, which I did not know what was happening. And when my Twitter started blowing up with Disney announcements at like 9 p.m. on Sunday, I was sitting there going, what is Disney doing? Like, this is a very strange time to be coming out with all these announcements. But they did announce several interesting things about in their, I guess, Parks and Resorts keynote. So I'm just going to go through them in the order that I remembered them. Honestly, this is in no particular order. They did talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy attraction in Epcot, which I feel like everybody kind of knew it was a roller coaster, but now it's confirmed to be a roller coaster. And it
what?
Will be,
it's a roller coaster?
I know. It will be indoors, like all indoors. And they said it will be among the longest inside roller coasters.
Which means that Disney marketing is just, I mean, PR is firing on all cylinders for the foreseeable future. Among the longest. Which is
yeah.
Remember, guys, for the foreseeable future is code for we can change our minds at any time and just say
right.
That wasn't the foreseeable future. Among the longest is code for it's pretty long.
Pretty dang long.
It's not short.
So I remember us talking about when they were flying those hype balloons, you know, in Epcot, thinking that this was going to be for Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster.
Right.
And my problem with that was having a huge roller coaster in, you know, in Epcot looks bad.
Ruins all the sight lines for
right.
the rest of Epcot, yeah.
Right, but if you have it indoors and, you know, ostensibly they're going to dig underground and put, you know, a lot of it underground, so the show building doesn't even have to be very tall, that's fine. You know, Rock and Roller Coaster show building is pretty tall, but it fits in with the skyline of Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, but how much can you dig? I don't think you can dig underground that far because I feel like the water table is pretty high. I mean, isn't that the whole reason that Magic Kingdom was basically built on the second floor? I mean, there is a tunnel in Future World, right? So, you know, everybody knows about Utilidors in the Magic Kingdom. There is the same thing in the in Epcot, at least in Tomorrow or in Future. Did I say Tomorrowland? Wow.
No, you said Future World.
Okay, cool. I almost said Tomorrowland the next time, but I didn't. In Future World, there is basically one tunnel, if I recall correctly, because I was in it like all of one, maybe two times. But even like, so for example, Interventions, right? All of our training rooms and everything
mm-hmm.
were actually a floor down from that. But yeah, I don't think you can dig too far down. And if I recall correctly, those height balloons were flying kind of high. And I think that was with the plan of having a pretty big show built, you know, before we thought it was related to, okay, they're going to put the roller coaster and it's going to be hill. Pretty big. Right.
Yeah.
And I think it is still going to be a lift hill. It's just going to be a enclosed lift hill, which is wise, I think, given how often, you know, say, given how often Test Track goes 101, I think it makes perfect sense to make this all indoors.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. So let's say you can dig 20 feet down or 15 feet down even. You dig 15 feet down and you have a 3-story tall show building. It's not too tall. It's still easy to theme without, you know, going, okay, everybody, this is a show building, you know? I think that's more than enough, especially if you do like a launched coaster the way that a Rock and Roller Coaster is.
And
that's
having
tall
a,
enough.
Yeah, having a lift hill in a indoor coaster, I don't think makes as much sense anyway, because you don't, like, part of the thing that makes a lift hill so awesome is that you see everything dropping away on either side of you.
Right.
And you don't see that when you're indoors. So yeah, I think.
And that was the big problem with Mayan Mindbender at Astroworld.
Yes.
Because it was
yes.
just a roller coaster that.
It was a roller coaster they put a box on the top of.
Right. And it was boring.
Yes. Astroworld would be Six Flags in Houston, Texas, for those of you who are not from the part of the world that we are from. But
or young people who don't remember.
Oh, don't even remind me about that. Okay, so anyway, we're getting off topic here. But yeah, so Guardians of the Galaxy, one of the longest, enclosed, and they said a brand new innovative ride system, which I'm interested to see what that's going to be.
Yeah. I think I read that like Intamin is developing that. But I don't know what.
But again, that's marketing speak for
sure.
could be something really cool. Could be a slight, you know, brand new, innovative. I know that sounds like it's going to be all different, but could just be a slight variation on an existing ride. You know, on an existing ride system. So
what if they did like a light cycle run type? I was just thinking about that. If you because Tron Light Cycle Run,
which is going to be at Magic Kingdom,
yeah.
So you don't want to be
that's
too
not
close
the
to
right.
that.
That's not the right name. What is it? Tron Light Cycle Power Run?
I don't remember.
Power Run.
Okay. Even if it's not, I think we should stick with that.
You got to have power.
We're calling Hollywood Studios the junk drawer now, so why wouldn't we call that the power? Sure. We're just changing all the names. We're going to really help people when they get there, and they're like, excuse me, can you tell me where junk drawer is located?
Oh boy, I am very sorry to the listeners. Looking back at my audio waveform here, every one of those P's in Power Run totally popped, and I am very sorry. That's not going to sound great to you.
And so you're probably going to cut a lot of that, and thus
probably
we're going
so.
To...
I'll record myself saying Power Run in a much less harsh way.
Okay.
But if you could do that ride vehicle where you're leaned forward, you know, on like a motorcycle type thing, inside where you could totally where you had, you know, 100% control over lighting and you know how Rock and Roller Coaster has a bunch of neon and stuff, and it's pretty fun and it's pretty cool looking. I think that if you could do something like that where you're not enclosed in the ride vehicle the way that you are in a roller coaster, that could be interesting.
It could, but does that really play to Guardians of the Galaxy? My first thought of Roller Coaster Guardians of the Galaxy was like the ships at the end of Guardians 1.
Oh, yeah.
That all of the, you know, because then that puts you in the attract, you know, that puts you in the action without actually being a part of the action.
Right.
And, you know, like there are plenty of small ships, but they've all pretty much, I honestly don't think an open, and you know, I could definitely be proven wrong and I'm okay with that, but. You know, I would almost think that a closed thing would actually make more sense with Guardians of the Galaxy because it's all supposed to be taking place in space.
Right. Yep, that's true.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, so we now know that it's going to be longish. We know. and we also don't know anything more about when it's going to open because they didn't say a darn word about that.
Yeah, I would.
Which means still a while away.
I would not expect that for a couple of years, at least. They did say that Pixar Pier opens on June 23rd, which
is way soon.
Yeah, it is. But judging by how much they've already disassembled Paradise Pier, like taking off the branding off the loop of the roller coaster and everything. I think they're going pretty fast, and there's not really that much they're doing. It's mostly theming changes. I think there's a few attraction changes that are actually happening, but they're
comparatively minor changes.
Right.
They're not completely changing out the attraction. They're slapping a new coat of paint on and
right.
some new stuff around it.
Right. We called Incredicoaster. That was a Babe Ruth style shot call that I'm still hanging on to.
You're proud of to this day.
Yeah. But they said that it's going to put you like in a race with the Parr family. What I'm curious about with that attraction is how will they convey a narrative on California Screamin'? Because California Screamin's theme is roller coaster.
It's just straight up roller coaster.
It does not have a theme. And so I'm wondering, you know, the cars have audio because California Screamin' had a very good audio track. If you have not heard it, seek it out. It is an incredible song.
I bet you it's on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Definitely.
It's on the YouTube.
It is incredible. So they could use the speakers to kind of envelop you in that world, but they're going to need some visuals. And I'm wondering if they're going to install some sort of projection technology or some screens, you know, strategically placed or something that will make it feel more like a race. Because if all you're doing is riding a roller coaster and you've got like the Parr family over descriptively explaining to you what's happening in the race, like a 1920s radio serial, that's not going to be super duper fun.
Yeah, but okay, so the issue that I see there is how do you fit screen like anything that's going to work all the time, right? Because that's outdoor attraction.
Right.
So
it has no hidden areas.
Right. And you're going so fast.
Yeah. That's the whole point.
You know, yeah. Otherwise the only option that you really have, I think, with that attraction to tell a story is, well, it doesn't even have a lift hill, because you don't even have, like, really the only time you have the time to tell a story is in the queue,
right?
Which you could do. You could seriously retheme the queue so that everything was set up, so maybe you could get away with the 1920 style stuff going on at that point.
Yeah. But there's got to be some kind of visual thing, because you're going to get a ready, set, go. And that's when the train's going to take off, and whatever sort of animatronic dash they have or whatever is also going to take off. You need to at least have that to start the race off. But other than projecting on the ceilings of the tunnels, which they have enclosed the tunnels, the tunnel, right. The things that used to just be canopies over the two hills are now enclosed. So they could project on the tops or the sides of those tunnels. So I guess you could get some sort of narrative in those where, you know, like, oh, I'm going to beat you and stuff like that. But for the rest of it, like, having no context of, like, where you are in the race, I just don't think works. I think they're going to have to come up with some way to keep you contextually aware of what's happening, aside from someone talking in your ear. I guess they could do like an announcer, a third party race announcer, talking, like telling you where they are. But I don't know. That doesn't seem action packed enough.
Okay, so here's the problem. It's not a race. You are racing to catch baby Jack-Jack.
You're racing to catch baby Jack-Jack.
According to the Disney Parks blog.
Hmm.
So that completely changes this, right?
No, it doesn't, though, because you still need to know where Jack-Jack is.
He's in front of you. He's always in front of you, right? And they're saying that you're going to use character figures, lighting, and special effects. So Jack-Jack suddenly, you know, shoots some flames at you. right? And then suddenly he shoots ice breath at you. And then, so at this point, it becomes kind of a, test track thing, right?
But so is Jack-Jack mounted to the front of the vehicle, do you think?
Or even like a couple of times they have like a Jack-Jack kind of pop out and then go away, where you like catch glimpses of Jack-Jack.
Yeah.
Because even then, like the coaster is long enough that the back of the coaster is going to have a lot more trouble seeing him, you know, just mounted to the front or something
right,
like
yeah.
that. So yeah, I think maybe he pops in and out at some moment, and then he disappears and you just see the after effects of what he's trying to do to get away or something like that.
Right. So yeah, no, I had a misunderstanding of what the theme of the attraction is. But I think the problem is still the same, where you're going from an attraction where the theme was roller coaster and the only objective was to have fun. And you're still at a point where, like, you need to be contextually aware of where Jack-Jack is. And like you were saying, the whole train needs to be, you know, the popping up and everything, that would work. I think that would be fine. But I still think they're going to have an issue with, one, the context, and two, finding places where he can pop out that doesn't look like garbage. Because, you know, we were talking about how that roller coaster is made to look like a wooden Coney Island-style roller coaster. And so everything is see-through. The supports are, you know, totally just supports. There's no hard walls anywhere except for the two hills. So how do they do that effectively?
I think you have to build in things that are going to hide him in certain places.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that the race thing would have been harder to pull off, but the idea that you're just chasing Jack-Jack and the family is alongside you or whatever, that to me suddenly that's a lot more doable. And again, I think you choose something like Jack-Jack because, you know, at least in Incredibles 1, we see him having all these different powers.
Right.
Opens them up to, you know, he can basically do whatever he wants to at you, and it all fits in with the, you know, the existing storyline.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're going to see, is something to that effect. And yeah, so here's the thing. I could definitely see that being really, really cruddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really poorly done. But since I haven't actually seen what Disney's going to do with it, I'm not going to go ahead and say, yeah, and that's a stupid idea, and it's going to be done on the cheap. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to wait until June 20, you know, because June 23rd is close enough.
Sure.
And if they do it on the cheap and it's cruddy, then at that point I'm going to say, yeah, they probably should have come up with something different. But
And I don't, my issue is not with that
idea.
Oh,
no, no, yeah.
I think it's a great idea. I think the difficulty comes from retheming California Screamin'.
Right, right. And you're just not seeing how it's, like I said, I think I have some symbol, like, I can understand in my brain how that is somewhat possible.
Right.
It will just be interesting to see whether or not that can actually be brought to fruition as effectively as what I think maybe it can. But yeah, I think
you're definitely having a way easier time seeing this than I am.
Yeah, with the exception of the tunnels, I don't expect to see any screens getting added.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, some projection inside the tunnels of maybe Jack-Jack, like, zooming around and doing circles in the tunnels over the top of the train or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could see, or doing circles directly in front of the train. I could see something like that working out, but yeah, it's gonna be kind of light. I expect to see it pretty lightly themed in some of those aspects. Again, just because of the time crunch that they're gonna be on to get this out.
Yeah.
But it could still be tastefully done, so let's cross our fingers and hope that's actually the case.
Well, and as far as roller coasters go, California Screamin' is real long. I mean,
it is.
I think it's 2 minutes or over 2 minutes, isn't it? I mean, it's a very long roller coaster.
Yeah, and because here's the other thing, and I don't think you can do this to California Screamin' without totally revamping everything about it. but the only other way to tell a narrative on it is the other way that we've seen Disney tell a narrative on a roller coaster, which is the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Ah, put a little dark ride.
Right, where you have a little dark ride in the middle of it. And I don't think they're going to do that because, I just, you know, again, it would take way longer than June 23rd to completely revamp it like that. But outside of that, the experiences that we have seen, which I would say would be Rock and Roller Coaster, you know, so what, Rock and Roller Coaster, Space Mountain, Big Thunder, even Test Track, are the kind of attractions where they're attempting to tell a story alongside a roller coaster. And we see that, you know, of those, I would say probably what, Test Track, which Test Track, even for a lot of its story, has to slow you way down.
Right.
I think we're going to see something more like a Rock and Roller Coaster sort of experience.
I do too. I agree with that. And this is my favorite kind of stuff that Disney does, because I can't see how this is going to work. And if it does, it's going to make me, you know, really happy and just be that much more unexpected. So this, I'm really looking forward to seeing this, because this is my favorite kind of stuff. When Disney says we're doing a roller coaster with a dark ride in the middle, and I'm like, what? You know, that can't work. And you know, it has issues.
Oh,
but
no, it could have worked. And again, I think just like we've talked about before.
No, that's what I thought. I thought to myself, that can't work, and it has issues. But Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is,
it works a lot better than what you would have thought it would.
Right, a good roller coaster. And it's fun. And so, you know, me thinking this can't work, you know, like, yeah, I can't see it. But if they can pull it off and make it really fun and exciting, like, that's, I love that. That's what I love about Disney.
Yeah, I'm apprehensive about it. And mostly because of the June 23rd date.
Yeah.
Because it's going, like, because it's happening, because it's happening so quickly to me, leans towards on the cheap. But I'm really, really hoping that is completely wrong, and that this one just blows my mind. And yeah, and maybe they'll surprise us all and it'll actually be a race and not racing to catch Jack.
Okay, there's two more things. Let's power through. One, Runaway Railway, the replacement for the Great Movie Ride. They didn't announce much. They talked a little bit more about the 2.5D kind of thing, and they talked a little bit about the narrative, how it's gonna, you know, put you on a train that Goofy's the conductor of. I'm wondering if the vehicle that Minnie and Mickey are riding in the poster, is what the ride vehicle is going to look like. Because we know that the Great Movie Ride was a two cars linked together, and each car held something like 15 people in it. The ride vehicle that they put in this, you know, illustrated poster is just a little red car with two seats. And I doubt they're going to have a two-seater, you know, vehicle, but would they do a smaller, like more smaller ride vehicles? Would they do, you know, like a 6 or 8 seat little red car instead of the Great Movie Ride style vehicles?
Well, so the Dub2Dub Magic article from the show notes says that you are going to be riding on Goofy's train.
Right, but you'll start in the car. You'll start in the car and then be pulled onto Goofy's train.
Oh.
So, and also, how are they going to do that switch? But from what I heard, and again, I've already been wrong this episode, so I wouldn't put it past me to have misunderstood this as well. But from what I understand is you will start in the car on a leisurely drive, and then Goofy's train is out of control. And so you end up on his train, but the narrative of the attraction doesn't start on the train.
Okay, so my understanding of the narrative of the attraction is you are watching the movie, right? You are watching a short, Mickey and, you know, a Mickey Mouse short, and then suddenly you're pulled into the movie on the train.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's going to start with you're in the auditorium watching the film, and then suddenly you're part of the film.
Hmm.
So that's my understanding, but yeah, I don't. Neither one of us has actually seen anything more than like one or two concept art still, so I think we could both be right or totally wrong on this.
So yeah, then I'm wondering how they, because load in from the auditorium for Great Movie Ride was not a quick affair.
But you're assuming that the Great Movie Ride vehicles are going to stay, because I don't really know that that's going to.
I'm not. I'm just okay. I'm basing my you know what I'm looking at in my mind's eye on how it used to work, and just like going from the auditorium to a ride vehicle was a totally disjointed activity. Like,
oh, okay,
in
okay.
The Great Movie
I see
Ride,
what you're saying. I think you're going to load. Okay, so I think you're going to load before you start watching the movie.
Okay, I
you'll
see.
you'll already be loaded. And then suddenly your okay. seats, you know, whether it's in the Great Movie Ride vehicles or some other vehicle, will just take off. Like, you'll be loaded before you start. And again, this is Brad's total and complete guess.
See, I agree with that. That's where I was kind of going.
And that's how it makes it all tight. Yeah, that because right. I see what you're saying. You were saying like the auditorium where you used to watch like the little
right.
different bits of film before you went and loaded.
Right.
Yeah, no, yes. I think it's all one.
I thought that's
seamless
what you meant
thing.
When you said auditorium.
Oh no. When I say you're going to be in an auditorium, I think they're going to have you seated in a way in which it feels more like you're seated in front of a big screen to watch
okay.
a movie.
Okay.
And then suddenly your vehicles start to move. You know, what a la so like the end of the Great Movie Ride.
Right. Yep.
So okay. that's my guess, but it is. I do like the fact that it's 2.5D, no glasses required, because mm-hmm. I don't really want to wear those stupid glasses. And you know, I know plenty of people that those glasses don't work for. So thank you, Disney, for not making us wear those glasses.
Yeah. So okay, I think we're more on the same page than I
originally anticipated
when you started
talking crazy talk about the auditorium.
I misunderstood this again, and I was more interested in this one. But no, I think, yeah, okay. So we're mostly on the same page on that one.
Yes.
And finally, Rock and Roller Coaster in, what? It's just Disney Studios in Paris, right? That's or is that in Disneyland Paris? It doesn't matter. Rock and Roller Coaster
in
Paris.
Rock and Roller Coaster is in Disney Studios, Paris.
Okay. Rock and Roller Coaster in Paris is being decommissioned as Rock and Roller Coaster and recommissioned as an Iron Man ride. So I guess in the vein of the kind of the we're not allowed to use Marvel characters in any way, shape, or form in the U.S. Overseas, like in China and Paris now, they can use them all they want. So, what Hong Kong Disneyland has, or Shanghai, one of those, has the Iron Man simulator type ride. And so this will be a roller coaster themed around Iron Man, which I think would be cool because, again, this is an indoor roller coaster that you have complete control over where you project, how you control the light, how you control, you know.
You control the story.
What people see where, yeah. Yes. And even to the extent that you can turn elements off until the roller coaster vehicle is approaching them, turn them on and then turn them off again, you know, to kind of make things appear out of nowhere. And that makes, you know, Iron Man flying around you in a way that, you know, you would want Jack in the Incredicoaster flying around you or whatever, much easier.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that's a perfect use for Rock and Roller Coaster. And my guess is that if it wasn't for the fact that they can't use Marvel characters over in Walt Disney World, we'd probably be hearing about the same thing coming to the Walt Disney World Rock and Roller Coaster.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
But, yeah, I did notice that, what, so Dub to Dub NT said this was an overlay. So I'm kind of wondering, is this a, because I did not watch the actual, you know, the D23 stuff. Is it going to be a permanent overlay or a temporary overlay? Because I sure hope permanent.
I read that as permanent. In the news that I read, the articles I read about it, I read it as a permanent change.
And before everybody thinks, oh my gosh, Brad hates Rock and... No, Brad likes Rock and Roller Coaster a whole heck of a lot. But Rock and Roller Coaster already existed in Walt Disney World, and a permanent overlay means that they will do what needs to be done to actually do it right instead of trying to make it as easy to change it back at some point to Rock and Roller Coaster. So yeah, I hope this is a permanent change. They just go all in on Iron Man, you know, redo the entire queue, and then we get a cool new Iron Man attraction that I will then really want to go see. And Jeremy will ask me at the beginning of every week whether or not I'm going, and I'll say no and end up in a bad mood.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.